One of my favorite nights is prayer and praise. It's just a time of worship, time where you can get along with the Lord and just go really deep into His presence. And we are so glad that you are here today as we continue in our series, As For Me And My House, We Will Serve The Lord. Amen. And so today, As For Me And My House, We Will Fill Our House. Amen. And so we're going to look at, last week we looked at cleaning out our house, and hopefully you went through your house, not only your physical house, but your spiritual house, and you began to take those things out that are not pleasing unto the Lord, right? And so we learned about these witches who had these books. They took them and they burned them. They said, no more, because I am a child of God, and hopefully you have done the same thing. We encourage you to do those things. Back in my day, we had CDs. And we would take, you know, it's a crazy thing. Young people, like, music was like on this little CD-looking thing. But we would take our bad music and just chunk them, you know, in the garbage or in a cold store or whatever it is that we would chunk them. But the idea was that we would clean our house. And so today we are in the book of Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. And before we get into this, I just want to give a little context of what we are reading this morning. And so we are reading about Jesus. Anybody love Jesus in this place? Amen? Well, good. You're going to love the sermon because it's about Jesus. And so Jesus went about through the land, as you know, healing those who were sick and afflicted. And he wound up making some enemies, believe it or not. Even as he was proclaiming the word of God, as he was speaking in truth, as he was doing such amazing things that we haven't seen throughout the history of mankind. But yet there were some Pharisees who did not like what Jesus was doing, right? And so they were always trying to find fault with Jesus. They were always trying to find something to accuse Jesus of. Hey, you're doing this wrong. And so they were always looking for it, mainly because they were jealous, because crowds and multitudes were thronging around Jesus, and they seen that there is something about this Jesus. I'm talking about thousands and thousands of people were drawn to him, whereas the Pharisees, they looked the part on the outside, all right? But they were, as Jesus would describe them, they were full of dead bones. And so they had all the clothing. They looked religious on the outside. They looked the part, but they didn't have any Jesus. They missed the whole point of the law. The whole law, the Old Testament law, pointed towards the fact that the law was insufficient, that they needed something else, something greater to take away their sins. And that was Jesus. They knew that their Messiah was coming. And whenever he was standing right in front of them, healing those who were wounded, those who were dead even, and raising them back to life, they missed it. They missed it, and they were blind. And so in this moment, Jesus is confronting them. And in the same chapter, believe it or not, these Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons by the power of demons. In other words, they said the way that you're able to cast out demons is because you're working under the power of Beelzebub, which is the prince of demons. Now, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, and so Jesus confronts them about that. He says, if a kingdom that is divided against itself, it will not stand. And so if I'm casting out demons against, you know, from the power of the prince of demons, this is a divided kingdom. And so their accusations did not hold water. And so we look at it in verse 43. So right after that, we see this moment here where Jesus begins to talk about demons, and he begins to talk about driving out demons. And just to clear the air, demons are real. Demons are real. Just as there are angels, there are demons. You know, you think you're dabbling with Ouija boards, and you think this is all innocent fun, and tarot cards, and psychics, and all these different things. No, you're dabbling with demons. All right? And so be cautious this Halloween season, because you don't want to be found dabbling with demons. You don't want to be speaking to demons. All right, so looking at verse 43, it says, when the unclean spirit, this is Jesus telling them what happens when an unclean spirit leaves a person. He says, when the unclean spirit or demon has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. So it's looking for another body to inhabit. It has to have a body to inhabit. So whenever it's driven out of one body, it seeks another body. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Now, we talked about that last week. We talked about cleaning out our house and sweeping out our house and taking out all those things. And this is necessary in the spiritual walk. Then it says, then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the person is worse than the first. So also will it be with this evil generation. And so this is a tough saying that Jesus is proclaiming here, but he's given us some information about demons and how they function. He's telling us that whenever they're cast out, like demons are restless. They continue to roam about, and it even says in the scripture that the devil is a roaring lion. He seeks whom he may devour. He goes about whom he may devour. He's restless. He has this restless energy. And so when learning about these, we learn that demons are, they're corrupt. They're wicked. They love what is evil. They're having a field day every time evil takes place. They cannot stand righteousness. They cannot stand the fact that you are here today, that you are raising your family in a godly household, that you decided that church is an important thing. Demons do not like that. They don't like it whenever you rise up as a man or woman of God in faith and declaring God's word. They do not like this. And so when a demon occupies a person, it can steer its thoughts. It can place thoughts in its mind, in a person's mind. And oftentimes, if that person is not found in Christ, we'll give in to those thoughts. And we'll give in to the lures of the enemy. And that's what they come to do. They come to seduce people, persuade them. They want you to be just like them, absent from God. And that is going to be their final sentence once it's all said and done. They will be forever separated from anything that is good and anything that is God. They will burn in the lake of hell forever and ever and ever, and they want to take as many people as they can with them. I'm not going to let that happen, and I believe you're not going to let that happen either. And so we see another example of this demon possession in the book of Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus goes to this place, and there to the Gadarenes, and there are two men who are possessed by demons. And they're cutting themselves, and they're making a mess of things, and people cannot even pass through that area because they're so demonically possessed that they can cause physical harm to someone else passing by. Immediately, whenever Jesus steps to the shore, they realize, uh-oh, we're doomed. Uh-oh, he's about to cast us out. Uh-oh. And so they beg Jesus for mercy, and they beg him, and they say, look, send us into the pigs. This is incredible, because they can only do what has been allowed by God to do. They have to get permission. Even the demons have to get permission by God. So this should be an encouragement to you today. If you feel like you're being attacked by demons, God may have allowed you to go through these things, but I also want you to know that God is a loving God, and that he will not allow you to be tempted more than you are able to withstand. Amen? And so we see in this story that in Matthew chapter 8, as they're screaming to Jesus for mercy, that Jesus grants their requests. He says, all right, go to the pigs. And then the pigs start going crazy, right? They start acting erratic. They wind up jumping off a cliff. You know, we always had that saying, if if your friends jump off a cliff, will you jump with them? The pigs did. And so they're following their pig leader, and they all jump off the cliff, and it says that they are drowned. But what we see in this is that the demons left the men, and they needed to inhabit another body. All right? And so they inhabit these pigs. Now, we're going back to our passage today in the book of Matthew chapter 12. And looking at it, it says, then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself. And when they enter there, and the last day of the person is worse than the first, so it will be with this generation. So now we see something that's kind of at risk and what has taken place here. That if it's one thing to clean up our houses, right? And we must clean our houses. But there is a danger in having an empty house, an unoccupied house. That word unoccupied helps us to understand what's really taking place. Yeah, you might have cleaned out the stuff, but it's unoccupied. There's no one home. There's no power to stand against it. So if it wants to come into your house, there's no one to say no. All right, so imagine, if you will, we had this nice little house set up, and last week it was pretty trashed up for an illustration. Now, right now, it's totally clean. There's nothing in it. Imagine, if you will, just for a second, that your pastor is a demon. It's empty. Oh, yeah. Oh, empty house. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to sit right here. Oh, yeah. This is my house now. Yeah. Right? Now, imagine, if you will, however, if the Holy Spirit is now inhabiting this house and your pastor, demon pastor, comes again. Yeah, oh, look at this house. Oh, I like this house. So now, you get this power inhabiting the house, the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. Give it up for the man filled with the Holy Spirit. But now you have this habitation of someone in the house. It's not empty. There's a power that's greater than you, and he's fighting on your behalf. And so whenever you are tempted to go back to that thing that held you bound, you now have this power within you that says no. And that power is able to fight off the enemy. Don't you know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? You don't have to be scared of the devil. You don't have to be scared of demons. Amen? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The dangers of an empty house, an unoccupied house. Tell your neighbor, say, fill the house. Amen? Turn to your second choice of neighbor and say, fill the house. Amen? There's a danger of having an empty life and not filling ourselves. You know, we need to be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. You know, whenever we are saved, you know, we come to the Lord, we repent of our sins, we confess Jesus as our Lord, our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. But how many of you guys know that we go through the week, we go through our days, we get weary, life bombards us, we're around secular pagan people who do not believe in God, and they suck the very life out of you. You need to find yourself filled with the Holy Spirit again. Amen. You need to find yourself in the secret place where you are with the Lord. That way he's inhabiting your heart and you're not allowing those demons to come back into your life. Amen. That you're shutting the door. You're filling your house with the presence of the Lord. Amen. You try to do this on your own without the power of the Holy Spirit filling your house, you will fail miserably. That's why the alcoholic can go to AA and they can find some relief, right? They might even get free for a year, maybe, if that. That's why the drug addict, they realize that their lifestyle is leading to death. They can make changes. You know, we see the spouse abuser realizing that he's about to lose it all, his family. He can make those changes. But Christianity is not just making moral reformation. In other words, Christianity is not trying to be better. You know, just trying to make our lives a little bit better. No, we need the inhabitation of the Holy Spirit to bring about a true transformation. Only the Holy Spirit can bring about a true transformation. We don't need just these little fixes in our life. Because the problem is this, the alcoholic who doesn't have the power of the Holy Spirit will succumb to those demons of alcohol again. The person using pornography on the internet, if he doesn't have the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, will succumb to those things again and again and again. Not about changing ourselves. It's about allowing Christ to come inside of us and changing us from the inside out. A true transformation. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need Him, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous to live a life empty and void of the Holy Spirit. We need Him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." So we realize that there is a power within us that's greater than your own efforts and your own ability. Now, there's only so much you can do. You can make moral reformation, but that is not lasting change. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18 says this, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Amen. If the Spirit of the Lord is in your house, then you are walking in freedom. You're not walking in bondage. You're not walking enslaved to the enemy. You're not walking defeated by demons. You are free, and you are free indeed. Amen. He goes on to say, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." There is a living, active person on the inside of you bringing about this transformation. That's how it's different. Because the Holy Spirit is not a thing. He's a person. And He is active and involved in bringing about the transformation that needs to take place in your life. He is fighting for you. I want you to know this today, that He is for you. He is not against you. Amen. And He is wanting not just to tidy up things in your life, but He is wanting to radically transform you into the image of Christ Jesus, our Lord. He wants to make you more and more like Christ each and every day. Every single day, we should be more and more like Christ, less and less like ourselves. Amen. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 11, it says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you," how many of you would say that the Spirit of God dwells in you? "Then you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. And anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Now, this is the power that we're talking about. We're not just talking about a power I have a limited power. I'm able to pick up this vial of anointing oil. It took some effort. It took some power. But we're talking about a power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. He was dead in his mortal body, but the power of Christ, the power of God raised Christ Jesus from the dead. That is the same power that is living on the inside of you when the Holy Spirit is dwelling and filling your home. You don't have to walk around powerless. You don't have to walk around defeated. You walk around in power, and you walk around in authority that Jesus has given to you. Amen. You don't have to be bullied by the enemy. Amen. You rise up, and you begin to walk in the authority that God has given you. Don't walk around with your head hung low. Don't walk around defeated. Don't walk around like disease has the final word. Don't walk around like cancer has the final word. Don't walk around like your situation, whatever it may be, has the final word. You walk around with the power and authority of Christ Jesus because Jesus has the final word. Amen? You walk around with that authority that's living in you, that same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. One more scripture. Well, actually, a couple more. Ephesians 3:16 says, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being. You need strength in your body. You need strength in your mind. You need strength. You don't feel like you can make it. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need him to inhabit you. You need to be filled with him. He's a greater power than we are. Amen. He strengthens us. He gives us life. He brings about freedom. He transforms us. And this is so unlike the unclean spirits that we allow to inhabit our lives. Because the result of the Holy Spirit living in our lives leads to life, leads to blessings, it leads to a life with God. But when we allow those demons in our life, you know what it brings about? Death. Destruction, anxiety, depression, worry, fear. You are meant to be inhabited by demons. You are meant to be inhabited by the Holy Spirit. Habitation equals transformation. Habitation equals transformation. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and uncleanness. We don't want to be like them. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. We don't want to clean out our houses, clean out those things, and look the part on the outside. We want to have true transformation on the inside. I want life to radiate through my life. Amen. John 14, 26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So he's your helper. When have you called upon your helper to help you? You're battling with a temptation. You're battling with a struggle. Rather than trying to figure it all out on you, by yourself, rather than try to overcome it by your own power, when have you asked the Holy Spirit, I need you in this very moment. In my moment of weakness, I need you to help me. He is your helper. He is committed to you. He loves you. Why don't we call upon him? So if your heart is not occupied with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be occupied by some spirit. There's no neutral ground in this. That our human nature, if we're not occupied with the Holy Spirit, then we're going to tend to allow unclean things in our lives. In fact, Proverbs 16:27 says, idle hands are the devil's workshop, right? Idle lips are his mouthpiece. When we're not busy about doing kingdom work, when we are not focused on things of God, when we are not focused on things of the Spirit, we will be led to do other things by the enemy. Oh, you're not doing anything with your life? The devil's like, oh, yes, I got him now. I got him now. Idle hands or devil's workshop. Now, my third point is this, living a spirit-filled life. What does that look like, to live a spirit-filled life? In Ephesians 5, 15 through 18, it says, so, be careful how you act. These are difficult days. And if it was difficult back then, we can say it's difficult now. That we are living in difficult days. And so the warning and the caution is to be careful. Don't be fools. Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity you have for doing good. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to find and do whatever the Lord wants you to do. Don't drink too much wine, for many evils lie along that path. Oh, well, let's read that again. Don't drink too much wine, for many evils lie along that path. Be filled instead with the Holy Spirit and be controlled by Him. We're not going to be controlled by a substance. We're going to be controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so a Spirit-filled life is a life that is mindful to do good to others, is mindful to demonstrate the love of Christ, is mindful to be about the kingdom business, doing what the Lord would want us to do, not what we want to do. And so when we look at this, we have to say, God, I want you to take control. I want you to fill my life. I need you. I need your power working in me. I want to be filled today with the power of your Holy Spirit. And when you wake up tomorrow, I want to be filled today with the power of your Holy Spirit. This is not a one-time event, but this is an occurrence that takes place each and every day. You know, we're filled several ways. We're filled through prayer. We pray, we ask God to fill us. We're filled through acts of faith. Whenever you do an act of faith and you step out of faith, the Holy Spirit fills you in that moment. When we submit to God, when God asks us to do different things and we walk in obedience to that, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Whenever we read, probably one of the greatest ways, whenever we're reading God's word, and we're not just reading it, but we're allowing His word to speak on the inside of us. We're listening to what the Spirit is saying. We are being filled. We are being transformed by the Holy Spirit. And so, knowing this, how much time are you spending in God's word on a daily basis? How much time are you filling yourself with the things of God? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you wanting to be filled with His Spirit? So, be careful how you act. Don't be fools, for these are difficult days. These are difficult days. Don't you know that the people around you, your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, your family, are going through difficult days as well? And they need to see evidence of the true sons and daughters of God in the earth. They need to see a people who are filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. They need this encounter with the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so you being filled is not only for you. It's for those around you. It's for all those whom you come in contact with throughout the day. It's not just about us. It's about all those that God has placed in your life each and every day. Every day we make the decision to walk in obedience to God. When we get up in the morning, every single day, say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to walk according to your word. Help me to do that which you have called me to do. We focus our eyes on the greater vision, on the vision of the church worldwide. When he says, go therefore and make disciples, teaching them all that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always to the ends of the earth. Baptize them in the name of Jesus. He tells us to do this. We must be intentional in our faith. Amen. And so how do we apply this message this morning? And I have just a few ways that we can do this. First, we're going to recognize that just because we look good on the outside doesn't mean that we have everything together on the inside. Isn't that what Jesus confronted? He is confronting these Pharisees who looked the part on the outside. They looked religious. They looked like they had it all together. But then he exposes their hearts and says, look, you're coming against me for casting out devils, but yet you're being led by devils to come against me. He calls them hypocrites. He calls them a brood of vipers. He says, you're whitewashed tombs. You look pretty on the outside, but you're full of dry, dead bones. And so we're going to realize and recognize that even though a life that looks good, without the power or the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not good at all. Basically, it's just self-reformation, making those self-changes. Self-help would be a better word. We're going to help ourselves. We're going to help ourselves get justified. We're going to help ourselves to live righteously. No, we need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the one. And so don't stop at temporary change, making those minor adjustments, trying to fix yourself. Actively seek the Holy Spirit to work in your life and let Him, in His power, in His authority, drive those things out, set you free, bring a freedom that is lasting, a freedom that is sure, a transformation that is real. Also, we're going to be alert to the reality that we are dealing with spiritual forces. Demons are real. The devil is real. These are real. This is not just something that we make up in the scriptures. It's real. And he comes to steal, and he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. Therefore, we must be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We need God's protection each and every day. If you do not do so right now, I would encourage you to pray for protection, not only for your life, but for your children each and every day. They go into these schools, and these schools are battlegrounds for their souls. They are teaching things that are not of God. They are teaching, so many things, and they're being bombarded each and every day. As a parent, it is your responsibility to pray that the Holy Spirit would surround your children. It is your responsibility to begin to teach them how to fight. Not physical. I'm talking about fighting the spiritual war that we're in. This war against spiritual forces of darkness. Teach your kids how to be light in the midst of darkness. Not to be a bunch of cowards and not to let the enemy just do whatever they want to do. But to stand up, to be bold, to be courageous, to be men of God, to be women of God, women of purpose. We have to do that. That's our responsibility. And then our last thing is that we're going to be a force of good in the world. We're going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to not only be filled, but we're going to let it pour out of us. And then we're going to get filled again. And then we're going to let it pour out of us again. And we will get filled again, and we will pour it out once more. Until all have heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Lord, we just thank you for your word. And we declare that in this place, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will clean and keep on cleaning our houses. As for me and my house, we will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that there is real transformation. So when the enemy comes back, he doesn't find an unoccupied home. He finds a power that is fighting on our behalf. He finds the Holy Spirit, and there is no room for the devil, because the Holy Spirit is taking up our habitation. The Holy Spirit is filling up our home. The Holy Spirit is filling up our heart and all that we are. And so, Lord, today we lift up our hands and we say, would you fill us, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit? We need to be filled with you and with you alone. Fill us, Lord, today. We don't want to just make self-improvements. We want radical transformation of the heart. And that only takes place as we are being filled with the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we submit to you. We ask, God, that you would change us. Make us more and more like Jesus each and every day. Change, Lord, the things that you don't like about us. Change them, Lord. Lord, we give you permission. Not that you need permission, but Lord, would you change us? Would you make us whole? Lord, fill us in the morning so that when we start our days, Lord, we are a light in the midst of darkness. Fill us in the afternoon. when we are with our families, Lord, we can lead them toward you. Fill us, God. We just need to be filled with your Holy Spirit today. And if you're in this place today and you really just need a filling, you've allowed some demons into your life. You tried fighting this by yourself. You tried making moral reformation. You tried self-help, trying to help yourself out of the situation. And what you need this morning is a power that is greater than you. And if that's you, would you stand to your feet? You need the power of Jesus to break some things off of your life. Stand to your feet. And as you stand, I just believe that chains are breaking off of your life right now. Chains are breaking off of your life right now in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names. So we just declare it so. All those who are standing with hands raised into the air, raised to Jesus, and ask him to break those chains in your life. And that you would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill them, Lord, today. Lord, we have not because we ask not. So today we ask that you would fill us afresh, Lord, with your power. That we would no longer have our tails kicked by the enemy, but we would rise up in the power and the authority that you have given us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We declare it so. We declare it so, and I declare freedom to every single person standing in the name of Jesus. You're free. You're free. You're free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You're free. Don't go back to it. Don't go back to it. Stay clean. Stay connected to the Holy Spirit. Stay connected to him. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. Don't allow these things to rob you of God's plan for your life. You have purpose. So, Lord, we just declare it so. And as a church, we just stand in agreement, Lord, with everyone who's standing. God, we pray for them. Lord, would you just wrap your arms around them? Would you just let them know, Lord, that you are with them, that you are greater than the enemy? And whenever the enemy comes back to that vessel that he once occupied, he will find the power of the Holy Spirit, and he will be no match for us anymore. We're rising up in the power and the authority that he has given us, and we're declaring no more, no more over our homes, no more over our lives, no more over our children. We say no more. We're rising up in the name of Jesus. We say no more. We evict you, devil. In the name of Jesus, we evict you. You do not belong here anymore. God, we thank you for your freedom. We thank you for your restorative work that you are doing in our lives this morning. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory, and let the church of the living God say amen and amen. We love you guys.
Could you just stand to your feet this morning as we close out the service? We're just going to sing the chorus of the Holy Spirit being welcome. Just a refilling and a refreshing this morning. Can we just sing this together? Maybe with your hands lifted, maybe praying over your family this morning. Let's just lift our voices and just declare this over our places.
Holy Spirit, you are well. Your presence.
allows us. God, over and over again, God, when we ask, the answer is always yes. God, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us as believers. This morning, when we walk out the door, Lord, I pray that we would go in faith and in courage. God, that we would declare boldly and witness boldly, because the power of the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. God, no more empty homes. God, no more swept out homes. God, we want homes that are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit personally. God, we pray that over our families. God, we pray that over our church. God, we pray that over our community, Lord. We pray that over our city, Lord God. God, that this would be a place that is full of the Holy Spirit. God, thank you. God, thank you that we walk in this place at this time. Lord, Jesus even said it's better that he would go so that we would have the promise of the Holy Spirit. Let us walk in that this morning. God, we thank you for what you've done in this place. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone in the room said, amen. Hallelujah. He is good. Don't forget a Reach Team meeting. Don't forget all the things happening. We love you guys, and go in his power. And we love you. Hug somebody's neck before you leave.